All right, so on Sunday night, we're going through the book of 1 John. So hopefully you've got a Bible or your device, if you turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. That's where we're picking up. And I just want to echo, I know what Pastor Brian's already said it, but I just want to thank you guys too for coming and supporting these families tonight. As someone who's been through their own deacon ordination and pastoral ordination, it's just encouraging to have people that you know come out to support you and pray for you and encourage you. And that's just encouraging. Just your presence here tonight is encouraging to me, and so I know it is to them as well. So it's interesting that Brian is talking about the charge that he gave to them was, if you notice, was all love. And that's what we're actually talking about tonight here in 1 John. So they've gotten their charge. Now we're all going to kind of get a charge to love tonight. So it's pretty timely here. So 1 John chapter 2. Now, just to kind of catch you up if you haven't been here tonight. So as we've walked through chapter 1 and into chapter 2, the last 2 weeks we looked at the question of, okay, if we say we're a believer, what is our relationship with sin then? Then how should we respond to that? Will we struggle with sin? Will we become sinless? Can we have forgiveness? And so John answers that we'll never be sinless, that we will struggle with sin, but praise the Lord, God is faithful when we confess our sin to forgive. It says he's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. And so we know that that cleansing comes through the blood of Jesus. And so John wraps up that section with the teaching that says that if you're a believer, then yes, you're going to struggle with sin. Yes, God will forgive you. But then he says, if you say that you know God and you say that you love him, then he says you should obey. You should desire to obey. That's how we wrapped up last week, is that we should have this desire to. Because I think if we were to ask each of us, do you obey? Well, no, I don't do it perfectly. But I think John gets to the heart of it and says, if we say we walk in the light, but yet we don't want to obey, then we're really in darkness. And so there has to be this desire there. But when we fall short, then we can always go back to 1 John 1:9, where it says, if we confess sin, then he is faithful and just. So John here, so far, he is connecting these three ideas, that knowing God means, if we say we know God, then we should love him. And if we love him, then we should want to obey him. Now, as we go into this week, we're going to keep those same ideas. To know Jesus is to love Jesus, and to love Jesus is to obey Jesus. But now he's going to say, if we say that we are obeying Jesus, then part of that obedience is to love others. See, John doesn't mince words here. He pretty much just draws in a black and white line. He says, if you say this, but you do this, then you don't really do what you say. You're not really who you think you are. And so he says that over and over through these sections, and that's what he's going to say even tonight. And so that's where we're going to dive in and pick up here in chapter 2, verse 7. So I know we pray for them, but if we can, let's just pray really quick for this time in the Word tonight. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for already what's happened today, this morning, and what we were able to be a part of tonight. God, we thank you for how you're working in these men's lives as they have answered your call and been obedient to step forward and to serve in these roles. And so we pray for them and we pray for those families. And we thank you how you're working in their lives. And we're excited to see how you're going to work through them. And so tonight, as we now walk through your word, and we're going to talk and be challenged about our own love for others, I pray, God, that your spirit would speak as your word is proclaimed. I pray that you would convict us, encourage us, bring us to repentance, maybe shine a light, your light, in certain areas of our heart that maybe we've tried to put some things away and maybe not deal with those, but I pray that your spirit would bring them to the surface tonight, not for condemnation, but God, so we can repent of them and so that we can trust you and be in right relationship with you and truly walk in the light. And so we thank you for your Spirit that does that in our lives, and we thank you for your word that the Spirit uses in order to do that, as the means to do that. So do that in each of our hearts here tonight, God, and help us to respond and be obedient as he leads. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. Notice what John writes here. He says, "Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard." So number one, we see here, John is going to talk about the word of love. The word of love. So now he's beginning this new section, or really kind of springing off the last, with this idea of calling his audience beloved. And I don't think it's any coincidence that in a section that he's going to start talking about love, he calls them beloved, or the loved ones, the ones I love. And so he wants to say, hey, we saw him already call them little children. And so he wants to be intimate with them because he knows his audience. He's writing to a broad audience, but it would seem that he knows at least some of them. But he knows of their heart. He knows of their testimony. He knows how they follow Jesus. So he's like, hey guys, I love you. He's prefacing this with saying, hey, you're the ones that I love, right? So he's about to kind of get in their face, but understand that where his heart is coming from. He loves them. And so notice what he's calling them to. He says, I am writing to you a new commandment. No new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. So it seems like here John is referencing back to his gospel. We talked about this in the introduction, but it's worth looking at again. He says, I'm writing to you not anything new, but an old one, an old commandment. And I believe that, and scholars believe, that what he's referencing is actually John 13:34. And again, if you're here for the first time tonight, we believe that John's letters, he wrote these after he wrote his gospel, right? The gospel of John, the fourth gospel, because we have certain references like this. And so look at John 13, verse 34 and 35. I'll have this one on the screen. Look at what Jesus said here in John's gospel. He said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, that you have love for one another." So here John is pointing them back to something that you heard before. He says, I'm not writing you anything new, but an old commandment that you've heard before. So he's pointing them back to something that Jesus has already said. He's like, this is nothing new to me. This is not my grand idea. He's saying, this is something that you've already heard before. And so he says, you've already heard this from Jesus. So here's the thing. Jesus himself tied these two together. This, again, wasn't John's idea. Notice what Jesus said in that verse. He says, love one another just as I have loved you. You're also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples. Not if you can win an argument with someone. Not if you can make them look dumb. He's not saying that. He's saying, this is how people are going to know that you're my disciples, my followers, my children, my people, if you have love for one another. So the negative of that is true. By this, all people will know that you are not my disciples if you do not have love for one another. It's one or the other. So Jesus has tied those together. So John is just saying, I'm just telling you what Jesus has already said. And then notice what he says at the end of that verse. He says, the old commandment is the word that you have heard. So it's very possible that he's pointing them back to Jesus. It's also very possible that he's pointing them back to what Jesus had taught about the greatest commandment being love the Lord your God all your heart, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he says, what's the second unto that is to love your neighbor as yourself. And we know in the law, God's law back in the Old Testament, there's all the considerations and laws that were written about how you should care for your neighbor, how you should care for others, how you should care for the stranger, how you should care for the migrant, the one that are traveling through. But what it's most likely when John uses the word, he's typically talking about the gospel message. And so John is saying that, hey, what Jesus is saying and what he as the apostles have said is that this idea of the gospel And loving others go directly together. They're intertwined. So it's very possible that when they heard, and we understand the gospel to be that I'm a sinner, Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, rose again. One day he's coming again, and if I put my faith and trust in him, my sins are forgiven, right? Like, that's the gospel in a nutshell. But it's probably very likely that for the first church, it was also, and that means we should love other people. We should love our neighbors. We should love one another. They probably heard the gospel as a holistic aspect. See, it's easy for us, I think, to say, okay, I understand that Jesus died for my sins, but there's some people I don't like. So God, you're going to have to help me to love them. We kind of see that as, well, that's something I have to kind of grow into. But it's very possible that the apostles and the first church, when they heard this, the understanding of being reconciled to God means I should also be reconciled to others. It's not a step one and a step two. It's one message. If we say that God has loved us and forgives us, then how in the world can I ever hold unforgiveness from someone else? If God loves me, a sinner, an enemy of him, how can I ever have an enemy between me and someone else? So John here is connecting them. He says, you already know this. The gospel message is a call to love. To love God is to love others, and being reconciled to God demands our pursuit of reconciliation with others. If they reject it, now that's one thing. But it should never fall on us as being the ones who refuse to seek reconciliation. So this is a message that honestly doesn't get preached a lot. We love the message of the cross because we get forgiveness in that. It's difficult when we have to give forgiveness to others. But we forget how God gives us forgiveness, and so we struggle with giving that to our enemies. But it would seem that John here is saying, hey guys, remember, this is part of the gospel. If you say you believe the gospel, then you should love others. And certainly you should love one another. Right? Talking about brothers and sisters in Christ here. And so they go hand in hand. But now look at what John says in verse 8, because it seems like he changes his tune here. He says, at the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So number one, we said there's the word of love, but number two, we have the light of love. And so when you read this, if you just read verse 7 and then you read verse 8, you're like, all right, is John confused? Is he schizophrenic? Like, what's going on? He says, I'm not writing you a new commandment. Then he says, but I am writing you a new commandment. But I like how the ESV has it in there. It says, at the same time. So we know, okay, he's not talking about two different commandments. He's talking about the same commandment. And so he says, I'm bringing you one commandment. In one way it's old. In another way it's new. But it's the same message. So what does John mean by that? Well, I think we have to dissect the verse in reverse. So notice he says that this new commandment that I'm writing to you, and then he says, notice the because there. So this is the purpose of this. So why is he writing this to them? He says, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So that's what we got to kind of think about here is, okay, he says, I'm writing you a new commandment because of light and dark. And I've titled this series, this study that we're doing, Walk in the Light, because that's what John has already been talking about, is he has this idea of God is light, and in him is no darkness. And he's constantly talked about, if you say that you walk in the light, but you are walking, or but you're living in sin, then you're really in darkness. So there's this contrast of light and dark. And we've said, okay, if God is light, then that means God is truth. God is good. God is perfect. God is holy. God is righteous. God is just, right? And we said that's what light is. So everything that's not that, the opposite of that is darkness. That's sin. That's wickedness. That's evil. That's the kingdom of Satan, right? That's everything that's against the purpose of God. And we know that in God there is light and there is no darkness. But we have to know that the opposite of that, in darkness, there is no light. So notice what John is saying here. So that's just a little, just a quick synopsis here of why John keeps using that. And so he says that I'm writing this to you because the darkness is passing away. And the light is already shining. So I think that what John is doing here, again, is he's referencing this idea that his people would have already begun to understand through John's gospel. Look at John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then in John 15, Jesus said this, which mirrors what he said in John 13 that we just read. Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So here's what I believe John is teaching. I believe what he's saying. He's saying this teaching itself is not new, it's old. This is what you've heard from Jesus. You understand this, right? It's an old commandment for us now because Jesus said, I'm giving you a new commandment. So John is writing this in the 80s AD, mid to late. So he's writing this about 50 years after Jesus was on earth. So he says, hey, to us, this is old. But the reason he's saying it's new is because I believe he's saying how this is actually lived out is new. It's no longer just a law that you have to obey, but rather for those who are walking with Jesus, Jesus is actually living and working and walking in and through you. So if we understand that we have Jesus in us, then he's going to help us walk as he walked. Now it's spirit empowered. It's spirit enabled. If we've been changed by the gospel so that we've been transformed, we are no longer the old man, we are now a new creation, then we have the Spirit of God working in us. So now we are now empowered and enabled to love and to walk as Jesus walked. Because if we understand what Jesus has done for us, then the call is to love others as he has loved us. That means there's no exceptions. That means there's no outs. There is no, well, God, let me tell you what they did to me. Let me tell you what they said to me. It means we can't find in the Bible, we're not going to find an exception with an asterisk that we can turn to the back and say, right there's my situation. I've looked, I can't find any. But this call to love is new because now it's the Spirit of Jesus working in us. It's a change of our heart that is a result of what Jesus has done for us. It begins from the inside and then comes out. And so some can take this to be legalism, which says you just grit your teeth and you love them in a sarcastic way or in a way that's just like, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway because we do it from a selfish motive. But that's not loving. That's not the way Jesus loved us. Jesus didn't say, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. I believe he said that genuinely, right? So that's not, the kind of attitude that Jesus had was not sarcastic or spiteful. And so I think that John is calling us to have a genuine love for people. And I'm going to stand up here and say, hey, I don't get this right, right? Like, I wish I could just say, hey, I never struggle with this. But if we have the Spirit of God in us, the Spirit of Christ in us, then he should be working in our heart and we should be responding as he's working. It's a heart change that realizes just how undeserving we are of the love of Jesus. The one we sinned against and yet he gave his life for us and he is our advocate and our propitiation as John talked about in chapter 2. When we truly consider that we deserve nothing from him yet he loves us completely, then we should begin to give freely that same kind of love to others. And so here's why this is so important, because John says, because the light is already shining and the darkness is passing away. John is saying that when Christ is in us and we are walking in the way that he walked, then we will truly love others the way that Christ loved us. Then we are demonstrating the love of Jesus to the world. We are demonstrating, and we are literally the hands and feet reflecting and sharing and expressing the love of Christ to this world. That's what he's saying here. That's why I believe he's saying this is the new commandment in how we live it out, because now Jesus is no longer here, right? He had gone, this was even 50 years after that. Jesus is now with the Father. But he's saying, but when you love like Jesus loved, then you are the hands and feet of Jesus. You're sharing that love. And now there's not just one Jesus. There's hundreds and thousands and even millions that can now be the hands and feet of Jesus in their community and at their workplace and then taking it to the nations. And so John here is saying that when we do that, the light is already shining and the darkness is passing away. Every time we show the love of Jesus to the world, to somebody, we're pushing back the darkness, which is the evil, which is the kingdom of Satan, which are the things that are fighting against the light. Every time we do that, we're pushing back the darkness. And notice he says it is passing away and it is already shining. It's current and it's ongoing, but it's not done yet. But John writes this in a way to know that it will eventually pass away and the sun will fully shine. And so do we show this kind of love to a lost world? Do we show this kind of love to our own brothers and sisters? There's a reason that people say some of the biggest arguments I get in is with church folk. Right? Like, we don't like that, but let's be honest, like, we've seen it. And maybe we've even been a part of it through our, you know, sometime in our life. But here, John, he wants to encourage these people, his audience, because notice he says, this new commandment that I'm writing you and about the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Notice what he says in the middle there. He says, which is true in him and in you. He says, I've already, remember, John, he was the inner circle of Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He says, I know that Jesus loved others. No doubt in John's mind. So I know it was true in him, but notice what else he says. He says, I know it's true in you. See, John's not here to tell him, you guys stink at this. He says, I've seen it in you. I know it about you. So he's saying, keep doing what you're doing. So keep it up. See, the problem is that there's this group out there that John's kind of addressing that have left the church because they think they've got this new knowledge. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. We've talked about that through the series, but you need to know that John here is kind of addressing this group that have pulled away from the church. And it's likely that now they have divided from John and his followers, or these that John is writing to, because they think, hey, I've got the true knowledge. I'm really the one that's in the light. I'm the one that's following Jesus. They haven't, and now it's turned them to divide from John to where John's going to say, they hate us. They treat us as enemies. We're not just difference of opinion, right? You can have all kinds of theological differences on secondary and tertiary situations. And that's okay. I kind of enjoy those discussions. I might be the only one in the room. But that's not what's going on here. They're separating. And so John is saying, when you love the way that Jesus loved, then you're pushing back the darkness. And the way that I like to think about that is it's like the dawn of a new day. Think of a sunrise. I don't know if you've ever been out when it's dark. I'm not talking about seeing the sun once it's rising, but to get out before the sunrise so that then you can watch it begin to come up. And so if you've ever seen that, there's this, when the sun starts to rise, you don't see it. But you see the light from it. You start to see the light begin to fill the sky, but you don't actually see that beginning of the sun for a little bit after that. But as the brightness of the sun is coming, it begins to slowly push away the darkness of the night, and the new dawn of the new day is starting to come. See, the light at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon can be blinding, but the sun is just as powerful at 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. It's just not fully visible to us yet. But slowly, the light of a new day is pushing away the darkness of night. And so this is a picture of a sunrise before you even see the sun. But you can see how darkness is now starting to be pushed away by light. That's what John is saying here. By passing away and already shining, the expression of God's love through his people is beginning to shine now through into this world, through believers, spreading God's love throughout the world. And that's what our call is. We're continuing that. We're reflecting God's light to the world. And so by doing that, the evil plans and evil schemes of Satan are being put away. Obviously not completely yet, but we've read the end of the book. We know that Satan doesn't win. We know that evil doesn't win. But we wait for that day. But think about it. When you're just out about your business, right? You're just at work or you go out to the store, and somebody, a stranger, especially a stranger, shows you God's love in that moment. Does anybody in this room just say, that doesn't really matter? No, what do we say? What do we feel in our spirit, in our heart? We say, wow. Say, thank you, Lord. Somebody pays for your, you know, you're in drive-thru and somebody in front of you paid your meal. Whether they did it because they're a Christian or not, what do we say? We say, thank you, Lord. Somebody says, God bless you. God loves you. Have a blessed day. Just even those things. Isn't there something about that that in our heart shines a little bit of like the light of God's love in our hearts? Well, that's what we do when we show love to others. It's beginning to show that evil does not win. And it also shows that we're not alone out here. God's got his people. And the light is already shining. And the evil is already passing away. And so we are that new dawn now. And so one day after Jesus returns and Satan and sin are finally defeated once and for all, then the earth will be filled with the glory of God. And the light of God's love will fill the earth just as brightly as the sun does at 2 p.m. And John writes about that in Revelation chapter 21. Look at this verse, or these verses. John here is writing this, and he says, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. So that's what John is describing here. One day we can say the darkness has passed away and the light is shining. He says there will be no night then. We will only know the light and the glory of God forever and ever. But here's what our call is until that day comes. We're supposed to be taking the light of God's love to whatever room we walk into, whatever relationship we are in. We're supposed to be demonstrating the love of God in that relationship. So there are believers who are showing the light. He says, I know that this is true in you, but it would seem that there are some who are not walking in the light. And that's what John turns to now. Look at verse 9. He says, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. So number 3 now, we see the absence of love. The absence of love. So now John turns back to his familiar statement here where this is the fifth time now where he says, if anyone says or whoever says, he said it 3 times in chapter 1. Now he says he has said it 2 times in chapter 2. And so we talked about how the way that John writes this, he says, if anyone says this but does this, then this is not true. Whether you say it or not. And he always says, whoever says. But if you do this, then this is a lie. He says, you're lying. And so that's what he's saying in verse 9. He says, whoever says he's in the light, right? I'm a believer. I follow Jesus. I know Jesus. I love Jesus. And he says, but if that person hates his brother, then they're in darkness. These are what these opponents, the ones who have left the church, would be claiming, most likely, is what scholars believe. That's why John is saying, if you hear this, it's a lie. And so John uses the word hate here, and it's in present tense. He says, if you say you're in the light, but you hate, you currently hate your brother, you're still in darkness. Now, here's the thing. Did they hate all people? Probably not, because that group probably loved each other. The problem is they said, if you're not one of us, you're our enemy. If you're not in our circle and don't agree with us completely, then we just write you off. And so they've now split from them. And so John says, like he did earlier, like we've seen through chapter 1 and into chapter 2, lip service means nothing. What matters is what you're actually doing. Because what you're actually doing shows what you actually believe. And what you actually believe shows who you really are. And love for one another is so important that to not practice it means that you are hating. And if you're hating, you're not really a believer. See, John just links them together. If you say this, but you do this, then this is a lie. It's not true. But now John continues. Look at verse 10. He's going to talk about the other side of it. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. So now John contrasts it, and he says, if you love or if you abide or if you live in the light, then he says, in him there is no cause for stumbling. He gives this idea, this very vivid, pun intended, illustration here. That he says, if you're walking in the light, then of course, if we're walking here, right, with this light on, I can walk all around and I can see where I'm going. But if we were to turn all these lights, turn the screens off, turn the lights off, it's pretty dark outside. It'd be hard to see. We'd probably be bumping into some chairs, tripping over each other, right? So he's got this idea of, we understand walking in literal darkness and literal light. But now John uses that illustration in our life. This word here, there is no cause for stumbling, is really just one word in Greek. And it's the word that we get our word scandal from, or scandalous. So if we think about that, think about how John is saying this. He's saying that those who truly love their brothers and sisters in Christ and love others in a way like Jesus would, he said, in their life there is no scandal. They're not scandalous people. There is no pretense. There is nothing fake. There's a genuine love and care that comes from a pure heart. They're not perfect, because John's already told us in chapter 1, no one can say that they are sinless, right? So he's not talking about perfection here, but he is talking about a purity of heart. They're someone who wants to honor Jesus. That's their ultimate goal. That's their heart's desire. They don't get it right all the time because they're imperfect, right? They're fallen people. But ultimately, it's not about, they've hurt my feelings, so guess what? Now I'm going to hurt them back. It's, I love Jesus, so I'm going to love that person. Even though they hurt me, I'm going to love them the way Jesus loves me. Because I know I've hurt Jesus. So if Jesus can forgive me, then I'm going to forgive them. They may not reciprocate, but I'm not going to allow bitterness to come into my heart. And I'm not going to write them off, because Jesus doesn't write me off. It's a purity of heart there. It's seeking to honor Jesus above all. But I think that we can say that this is that those who have a heart to love others will also have a heart to seek to honor God. Like Pastor Brian said this morning, our heart has to be first and foremost to honor God, right? And if that's our heart, then he can help us to love people like this. And that's the only way that it's possible. Because if you hear tonight, just gotta love more. you're going to fail probably before you get home. Certainly in the morning, somebody's going to mess up your day tomorrow. If you can make it through the night, somebody's going to mess you up tomorrow. The first thing we should do is we should leave here tonight saying, I need to love Jesus more. Because to love like Jesus, I have to first love Jesus. I have to pursue Jesus. I have to become more like him, walk as he walked. Because if I'm walking closer to him, then guess what? I can love more like him. That's where it starts. And that's what John is trying to say here. Because if we notice what he says in verse 10, whoever loves his brother abides in the light. That word abide, Jesus used it over and over in John's gospel. It's this idea of being the vine and the branch, right? That's where he talked about it. If I abide in you and you abide in me, and it's this idea of being so connected to Jesus, living in Jesus and he living in us. But he says, whoever loves his brother, that's the one that abides in the light. Doesn't matter if you say you do or not. It's whoever loves his brother is the one who's abiding in the light. And in him, there is no cause for stumbling or there is no scandal. You're not living two lives. You're not trying to be something that you're not. You just want to live purely and you just want to honor God. And because you want to honor God, then I'm going to love. So there's a purity and a love for truth. But contrast that with those who are not showing love. He goes back again. Look at verse 11. He says, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness, and he walks in the darkness, and he does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Whenever you see this, Paul does it a lot, but John does as well, because he has this whole idea of walking in the light. Walking in the Bible and in this context, in this culture, is this idea of our pattern of living. So he's using this illustration of walking step by step in the light, but really he's talking about just how we live day to day. So he says, whoever hates his brother is in the darkness, and he walks in the darkness. So while believers should love to walk in the light, those who hate their brother or sister is in darkness. And because they are in darkness, they walk in darkness. See, if you're in darkness, then guess what? He's saying you're already blinded by sin to begin with. Since you're blind, you don't just have blinders on, you're blindfolded. Your eyes are covered. And when your eyes are covered, then you're going to walk in darkness. You're not going to see where you're going. You don't even know where you're going. You don't even know how you live. So he says, if you hate your brother, if you're in that group that doesn't love, he says, you're in the darkness and you walk in the darkness. And because you're blind in your sin and you're walking in the darkness, then what? He says, you do not know where you're going, or he does not know where he's going. Have you ever confronted someone about their sin? I mean, lovingly, right? Like you see what's going on in their life and it's obvious to you. It's obvious to their friends. It's obvious to your family members, whoever it may be. And you go to them and maybe you've even talked to other people and said, how can we do this to try to help them? Right? You're not gossiping. You're like, hey, we really need to go talk to them because they're heading down the wrong, in the wrong way, right? And have you ever gone to them and you try to tell them and their response is, what are you talking about? I don't do that. I would never do that. And you're like, but yeah, you did this and this, or you said this or whatever. And they defend it, or they're just ignorant of it. That's exactly what John is talking about here. Someone who is in the darkness is so blinded that they don't even know what they're doing. And they do not know where they're going. Why? Because the darkness has blinded his eyes. That's the result of it. Their pattern of living has become so impure, so in sin, that they don't even realize what they're doing. And they would convince you that you're the one who's in the wrong. Or let's switch it. We would try to convince others that they're in the wrong. Let's be honest. We can all get to this point if we're not mindful of this. So John says that the result here is that they do not even know where they're going. But John tells us exactly why they respond that way. They're so blinded by sin. It kind of reminds me of a trail that Nikki and I went on recently back last fall. I would go online and I would try to find places to go, like waterfalls or just trails or whatever. And so I started off, I was trying to be cheap and I didn't want to download an app and pay for an app and stuff like that. So I said, you know, I'm going to Google directions. I'm going to download them. I'm going to put a point on my, on my map so I can drive out there. Problem is once you get in the mountains, sometimes your GPS doesn't work. But I had the written out directions too, just in case. So I followed those directions and I said, okay, this sounds like the right parking lot. We started down the hill. You kind of enter into the woods and it's like, okay, that's obviously a trail. So let's walk that way. And so I'm looking at it and literally I just have like, go down this and then there'd be some rocks there and there'll be this tree there. I mean, it was like, okay, I can follow that. So I get down and then we get down to a point where we come to a river. And it's a wide river. And I look at it and I say, okay, we got to cross that. And I see this stone and I see that stone, but I don't see how we're getting across there. So I pulled up my instructions because I have no signal where we are. So I look at that again and I say, but right there it says that you're supposed to be walking parallel to the river, not crossing the river. But I looked and we're like, but that's obviously the trail that we're supposed to come down. So I said, all right. You know, we've driven, like we would drive sometimes an hour and a half, 2 hours. So we drove. I was like, we're finding something. We're going hiking somewhere. So I go back out to the parking lot, and I had just enough signal. I said, all right, I'm gonna pay this $30 annual. I'm gonna buy this app, and it's a $30 fee. But the app then has GPS, so you can pull up the trail, and it will tell you, okay, this is where you are on the trail. So I download that, pay it. It takes us about 5 minutes because the signal is slow. But I get it, and I say, okay. So we start back down the hill. The problem is you start down the hill, and then immediately, once I pulled it up with GPS, the trailhead was that way, or the beginning of the trail was that way. And I looked at it, and I said, doesn't really look like a trail, but okay, I'll follow GPS. And so we went kind of back up the hill and around, and that's where the trail started. And then we were able to go. But I was flying blind there for about 20 minutes, and I was about ready to say, all right, how can we get across this river, right? Nikki was over there saying, no, you can cross it. I'm not crossing it. And so it's funny, and it all worked out. But so many people operate their life that way. Because they're blind, they don't know where they're going. They'll even make dumb decisions, and the whole time we look at it, and we say, why would somebody do that? Because they're blind, they don't know what they're doing. They're in darkness. But when we're walking in the light and in the truth of the light, then we have the Holy Spirit, we have God's word, we have other people that can help us get to where we need to be so that we can be following Jesus on his trail, on his path. And so I think that we have to be able to understand that. Because John says, if you and I aren't loving others the way that Jesus loves, then we're not obeying Jesus' command to love, which means we're not obeying him, which means we don't really love him, which means we don't really know him. There is no yeah, but in there. John is building his case through this, that they all are connected. It's like 40 times in here, he's going to say, if you know Jesus, you love Jesus, and if you love Jesus, you're going to obey him. And that's really all this is. The command to love is really just obedience. But again, it's not a white-knuckled, gritting our teeth, I just got to be more loving. Jesus, help me be more loving. It's Jesus, I want to love you. And if I love you, then he's going to help us love others. Make me more like you. I want to follow you. Because if we're going to follow him, if we're going to be like him, then we're going to love. And so you might say, well, I don't hate anybody, Jonathan. But Jesus raised the stakes. He said that love one another as I have loved you. That means unconditional love. And so like what we said during the forgiveness series, right? This doesn't mean that you have to be their best friend. You have to spend all your time with them. It just means we release it, right? If they have hurt you, if they have done something to you, but ultimately, we don't allow bitterness to take root. We just release it. And allow Jesus to make us more like him. There's no greater love than John 3:16. And so looking back at this commandment from John 13, Jesus says that our testimony to the world will be that we love one another. And could it be, could it just be that the reason we're not seeing the church making the impact that we think that it should is maybe because we're not actually living out this commandment. Because Jesus says, that's your testimony to the world that you're my disciples, that you love one another. And so tonight, I just want us to consider a couple things and then we'll wrap up. This passage is a lot like the passage that we had just gone through over the last 2 weeks. And in that passage, John said, if you say you know Jesus and you love Jesus, then you should obey him. And if you don't obey, then you don't really love him. Now John says, if you don't love others, then you don't really know Jesus, because a true believer will walk as Jesus walked, and they will love as Jesus loved. So John says, essentially in this, he says, you're either a lover of others or a hater of others. There is no in between. So tonight, how are you loving? If we were to take a secret ballot, and we're not going to do this, okay? I'm not presenting this at our next staff meeting, okay? But what if we were to have a secret ballot out here next Sunday, and it had every member's name on it, or every attender, every member and attender, and it had their name on it, and every person could then say what they think of you, or what's their impression of you? Would they say negative, gossip, troublemaker, hateful? Or would they say a caring person, a loving person? The light of Jesus shines through them. What would be your testimony? That's not easy to think. That's difficult to think about. But that's something that we should consider tonight and really regularly in our life. Because John connects our love for others to our relationship to him. And really our relationship to God. So how's your love? I think we could all agree tonight that no matter where we are, we can all work on this aspect of our life. So let's pray together and ask God to help us remain in the light and help us to walk as Jesus walked and love as Jesus loved. And we can't do this on our own. So really, let's pray God to help us to be more like Jesus so that we can truly love in this way as he loved us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you for this time together. Just what a great night it has been. God, I thank you for each one that's here tonight. And I thank you for this time in your word. It's challenging. John writes many challenging things. And this one is a very difficult one, because in our flesh, it is difficult oftentimes to love. And so I pray, God, that first and foremost, our heart tonight would be one of repentance where we fall short. God, help us to acknowledge that we do fall short, that we don't love the way that we should at all times. And God, we repent of that, that that really does break our heart. But then that repentance would then drive us, God, to pursue Jesus more, to understand what he's done for us and how much he loves us. And that we want to be more like him. We want to know him. We want to fellowship with him. We want to be intimate in our relationship with Jesus. We want to get to know him more. We want to obey him more. So that then we can share this light with those around us. So that we can be that light shining to this community. So that every relationship we're in every person that we come in contact, we are like that sun that's beginning to shine a new day. So that when we enter in into a room or a fellowship or a relationship, God, they can see not just us. It's not even about us. But God, they can see you, and they can see the love of Jesus through us. And so God, help us to do that until we go to be with you or until Jesus returns. And that day we look forward to when there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more sin, there'll be no more wickedness, there'll be no more evil, and there'll be no more darkness. And we'll only know the true light of your glory forever and ever. So God, help us to finish well. Help us to be faithful, and help us to walk as Jesus walked in the light. We love you and we thank you, and we ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless y'all. Y'all have a great week, and we will see you all next week.